You are listening to BensTorah.com.
There is an edition of the Chumash, which was printed recently under the auspices of the Yeshiva University and also of the OU. And the editor is a person who lives in Edison at the present time, and his name is Lustiger. And he gathered together the thinking, the thoughts, the pirushim, the commentary of a Yashiver Soloveitchik Zatzal from various sources. And he was able to get it both from the Mitzoy Shabbos Shiurim that Rabbi Yashiver gave in Boston for many years. Then when he took the position in the Maria Shul, so he gave many of his classes in Shiurim there. And he gathered it from those notes. And as a result of his tremendous work, he has been able to put together a picture. He's been able to put together a hashkofa of Rabbi Yashiver Soloveitchik on many, many topics. And I am basing the words this evening of the Haggadah Shir on the philosophy and on the approach of Rabbi Yashiver Soloveitchik Zatzal. A few things struck me. First of all, he points out that when slaves are liberated, when slaves are saved, we know historically that what has happened is once they are given power and once they are able to use their own decision-making, we know that when slaves reach a level where it's ever kiyimloch, and that's an expression that is used by the Torah, ever kiyimloch. What happens when a slave community with a slave mentality is able to wrest authority and power from those who had it heretofore? And so he shows that freedom, when it's granted to a person, can either be used properly, it's a door of opportunity, it's a window of opportunity that opens up, or it's something which gives, as it were, the allowance to use every base and every low, vulgar kind of a reaction on the part of that former slave community. He says, history records there were many bloody bloody rebellions, and that even ancient Rome experienced a few historic uprisings of the slaves at that particular time. There was a grim confrontation, as he puts it, for those who had set themselves free. There was something called the Peasants' Rebellion. peasant family. There was also the Kazakh revolt in the Ukraine. And the stories about the cruelty of these rebels are blood-chilling. They were eager to settle a long account of cruelty. Horrific massacres were typical. The drive for vengeance, for gratification of the satanic in man, was irresistible. I'm quoting from his approach. However, you contrast that with the story of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, we know from the Haggadah, for many, many years suffered at the hands of the master race. Am Yisrael, we know for many, many years, their children were taken from them and their children were destroyed. We know from the Haggadah and from the story and the history of our people that we were in bondage for the years of what we call Shibud Mitzrayim. And that's a chapter in the history of mankind that unfortunately brings only shame to mankind itself. The master race at that time were the Egyptians. And the Egyptians used their power, their strength, their mastery to destroy an entire people. This was repeated time and again in modern history, and certainly in our time by Nazi Germany. Now look carefully and see what the Torah tells us. The order given from heaven, the order given by the Almighty, by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the night of Pesach, the night of Pesach. What was the order that was given? The order that was given was Loiseitze ish mike beit mibeso. No person was allowed to leave his house. A Jew could not become part of a marauding, mad crowd to go out to take vengeance from his former oppressor. Do you ever stop to think, why did the Torah tell us that we have to know that the order was given from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that no one was allowed to leave his house the night of Pesach? And this prohibition of no one leaving his house the night of Pesach, from a very pragmatic point of view, was because by keeping the Jews in their houses, they could not become a new reenactment of the peasant and the Cossack Nekama, the revenge that would be taken against their oppressors. We did not want to allow ourselves, as was basically indicated in the words of Rabbi Neuberger, we may have been oppressed, we may have been persecuted, we may have been in a position that we did not have the power to choose our own destiny. But one thing we did do, and that is we did not allow ourselves to have the culture of the society around us make us prisoners of that culture. We did not allow others to impose on us the mastery of their culture. They were masters. We were slaves. We were oppressed. But nonetheless, we remained with that self-dignity and that self-mastery, beginning in Shibud Mitzrayim. And that is true of Jewish history for all these decades. Down through the centuries, what has happened is precisely that. And where it does not hold true, then we lose our self-identity. Our self-identity comes from the fact that we choose the culture, we choose the attitude, we choose the Derech HaChayim and not the world. If we look about us today, we realize that one of the major problems of the Jewish community and of Jewish leadership is that we have almost come to a reverse of this attitude and of this point of view. We have become a people that does copy and that does accept and at times even embraces. We have become a people that mimics the society around us. And we do not rebel against that. And that is really what the Seder comes to teach us. The Seder comes and says to us, Avodim hayinu l'paro b'Mitzrayim, we were slaves. But we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. We did not allow that to become part of our Jewish heritage. That's not the narrative of the Jewish experience in Mitzrayim. The narrative of the Jewish experience in Mitzrayim, as was mentioned in the previous lecture this evening, was that Lishinu, there was no change. There was no surrender. There was no submission where it counts. Submission and surrender where it counts is how we live with the culture around us, as opposed to the surrender and the submission to political or military might. Over that we have no control, but we do have a control over the Jewish home. Lo seitze ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. It's a long night, and all night long the Ben Shem said, you have a bias, you have a home, you have a mishpacha, you have a way of life, you have a refuge. And the refuge that you have is one that has kept us alive and well over all these years. Matzah, Maror, the mitzvah of these two items, matzah and Maror, is to teach us a lesson that we are submissive, just like matzo is. Matzo does not rise. Matzo is humble. And the maror is sometimes that which causes us to be a matzah people.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
He also makes another point, which I would like to share with you. And that is that the Jewish people, when they were in Mitzrayim, showed what real freedom was, in one sense. The sense that they showed it in was the fact that we were a people that brought to the world the concept of a slave community which has absolutely no concept whatsoever, as opposed to a free man, to a free community. What a community and what a society of chesed can be and must be. You'll say, what does chesed have to do with Pesach? What does chesed have to do with the celebration of the Chag HaPesach? And yet, you stop and think and consider that a slave must suddenly realize that the little that he has saved up for himself, a single lamb, is too much for him. And what does the Torah tell us? He says to himself, I have more than enough. I don't need so much. I don't need so much. Because now that I look at my possessions, I realize that the most responsible and logical act that I can perform is to invite others to me. Come, join me. In no other yontif do we have this concept of chabura. Chabura. Do you know what chabura means? Chabura means a company, a group of people gathered together. And in that chabura, we invite others to join us. A slave with his mentality does not understand what we mean by a community of chesed. A community of chesed can only be understood and embraced by a community of free men and women. They know what a community of chesed is. You realize that the person knocks on the door of his neighbor and he invites him to do the following: to share the Korban Pesach with him, to share the lamb with him and eat together. That's why our Seder begins with the declaration of Holach Ma'anya. Because this is the bread of poverty. The bread of poverty is not simply something that is poverty. The bread of poverty means that with the little that I have, it's more than I need. You, on the other hand, may have nothing. And therefore, a free man is free to be a member of a community of chesed. A slave can never be part of a community of chesed because a slave does not have that courage. A slave doesn't have that strength. A slave doesn't have that courage to be able to say that what I have, I'm going to share with you. Because how can I share it with you? If I do share it with you, I'm depriving myself. This is the whole concept of Ho'lach Ma'anya. Chazal say a strange thing. Why do we call Lachma Anya the bread of poverty? We call it Lachma Anya because it's a bread she'onin olav devarim harbe. We have so much to say over this bread. This bread opens up our imagination. This bread opens up our ability to live in a society. But above all, it also opens the door to a society of chesed and to a community of chesed, which is the mark of the free man. The bondsman, the slave, is not spiritually capable of joining the chesed community. He's too much concerned with himself. He's too insecure. He's too fearful regarding tomorrow. He's too humiliated to think of someone else. And he's too frightened and too meek to be able to share it with the other person. When was the birth of the chesed community? The answer is, it was in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, through the Korban Pesach, that Paschal lamb, which says that it cannot be something that goes in vain and for naught. If there are many, let there be many who share. If there are fewer, let there be fewer than share. However, one thing it does, it says you cannot be self-centered. You have to be part of a chesed community, where the little that man has is too much for himself. This is strangely the lesson of the Korban Pesach. This is the lesson of She'onin olav devarim harbe. This is what is said over the Ho'lach Ma'anya. And that's why we begin the Seder with that. Why begin a Seder with such a strange kind of a statement? Why begin a Seder with Ho'lach Ma'anya, the Achola HaVasan HaBarad Mitzrayim? Seems to be a strange introduction, but it's not. Because what we're saying is tonight is a night of freedom. And once we are free men and free women, then we can afford the luxury of being part of a chesed community. And we have nothing to be afraid of. There's more than enough for all of us that the Rabbeinu Shlomo has promised us. Look at how there is such an insane kind of a drive to accumulate, to gather, and to have more and more when you can't even have the possibility of living long enough, either you or your children or children's children, to be able to consume whatever you have amassed. You don't have the time for that. It's not going to work. And therefore, when it comes to tzedakah, when it comes to chesed, when it comes to sharing, when it comes to giving, a person cannot say to himself, but I can't afford to do it. Because one lamb incorporates and binds together the entire community. That Korban Pesach has enough to offer everyone who is in your neighborhood. And therefore you must understand that a chesed community is really the ultimate symbol of freedom. That is freedom. Freedom is where you do not clutch, grasp, and acquire things for yourself alone. And therefore, a chesed community is a beautiful result of what we call the cheres. That is the lachmanya. That generosity of spirit is what Pesach begins to teach us before we even start the Seder. So we start by saying, listen, ho lachmanya, this is the bread that seems to be bread of poverty, but it's the greatest riches that you can possibly imagine. And this is a bread, she'omer alav v'olam haba, that triggers in our mind, in our heart, and in our soul, the clarity of thinking of how to approach what we mean by the word freedom. So on the one hand, the cruelty, the violence that normally is associated with a slave community that is suddenly freed, that you must control. You don't leave your house. You stay in your house, and what do? You say hallel. You stay in your house and say hallel. Imagine, in the history of mankind, whenever slaves have revolted and rebelled, they have left their houses, become marauding mobs, and gone out to shed blood. A Jew, when he reaches the level of Cheres, stays in his house and says, how? You need a bigger contrast of what we call a moral, noble community versus a community that has nothing to offer. A community that has no kindness and that has no chesed. You should be proud of the fact that you are Jews, because by being a Jew, you are a member of a chesed community. And that chesed community ultimately is a free community. Let me wish all of you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.